this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised several to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
Jesus, to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help. In the days of yore of the Old Testament, they didn't have access to come to a place like this. The choir would not have been able to come to the holiest of all to sing. We would all be outside the gate. Only one high priest would have access, and even he himself was not sure of his access. He had to sacrifice out there. They had to tie a rope around his feet with a bell hanging around his waist so that when he stopped hearing the bell, they'll know, hold on, the passing bell. We have to, and they can't come to bring him out. So it's that rope that they'll use to drag it just in case. So his access was just in case. Hallelujah. But you have access by the blood of Jesus. And that is the greatest access that any man can have. By the power and the blood of Jesus, that veil was torn apart in the temple to give us access to the holiest of all. And the Bible says, how shall we not, with that same salvation, freely have how many things? Every other thing becomes accessible, just simply by the access we have with the blood of Jesus. Tonight I'm going to be preaching on what may be somewhat a bit apostolic, but I want to speak to our generations, because even if I have access, I also need to give better access to others. And so tonight I'm going to be speaking on the subject that I title Building Generations. Building Generations. Shall we turn our Bibles to Psalm 105? And I'll be reading from verse 1 to 8. And that's the entire book. Psalm 105. We'll just read from verse 1 to 8. And then we'll read from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 30. I'll read from verse 11. Well, let's start with Psalms from verse 1 down to 8. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Have you wondered that the efficacy of the blood of Jesus has not waned in after thousands of generations? In spite of the age of it, its intensity, its capacity, its ability, its efficacy has not reduced in ability. Proverbs 30, I read from verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from amongst men. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for the entrance of your word, giveth light. Thank you for an understanding heart. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your will and purpose for this gathering. And thank you, Lord, for breaking every resistance that the enemy might want to raise in the hearts of men. Holy Spirit of God, breathe upon the letters of your word and let the purpose for which you have brought us forth be manifest in our individual lives. Father, I ask that you will take the preeminence in our midst and let the name of Jesus alone be glorified. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Without any fear of contradiction, it's safe to say that we all belong to a generation. Not just in terms of whatever age we are, because you can reckon a generation in terms of age brackets, but that we are also living, irrespective of our individual ages, we are living in one age together. Whether I'm 15 or I'm 50, we are living in the same age and season together. There were some that had lived in a generation before us. They had lived in generations ahead, maybe in the 19-something, or 1800s, or 1700s. They also lived in their times, in their seasons, and went on to their reward. But you and I exist today in a generation in which we are. But you do not just belong to this generation. You are also a product of a generation. Whoever I am today, whatever I am today, I was birthed by a generation. Both in my natural biological being, in my spiritual being, as well as my professional life, I was birthed by a generation. My father, my mother, they have passed on to their reward. But they birthed myself, my siblings, in their own time and in their season. And whatever they did or didn't do will manifest in me or through me one way or the other. Praise the Lord. Some of the things I'm privileged to do today were products of seeds and sacrifices that generation had laid. It is also possible that some of the things that sometimes we do not enjoy today is a product of some of the decisions that a generation had also made or did not make. And so as we speak of access, I don't want you to look at access as my access alone, but also who you will give access by your acts or your omissions. Because whatever you see today is a product of somebody else's sacrifice or failure. And so over the years, we have all turned out to be whoever, whatever we are, by virtue of whatever price was paid or was not paid by somebody in a generation before us. And that's why as we speak of access, I like us to look at it in the global picture of the generations you and I will give access to. By our work, by our sacrifices, and by the grace that the Lord has bequeathed upon us. If you look at our discourse with social scientists, they will tell you that in the last century, there are about five generations that have lived, and they said the current generation is Generation Z. That's the techno generation. They are the technologically, we had the baby boomers who built wealth. We had the millennials who were more civic minded and all of that. And we had the traditional generation, those who lived before the Second World War. We had all those ones. But we are looking at the generation that they call Generation Z. But generations will come and go. The secondary school where I attended, we have a school song. The third stanza starts by saying, generations shall come and go. But you and I need to recognize that you yourself, you're a product of a generation. And as we walk through the face of the earth, as we walk upon the surface of the earth, we are also going to be giving birth to another generation. Ecclesiastes 1:4 says, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. Life is an endless cycle as long as Jesus tarries. But one generation will pass away and another one will come forth. So you and I belong to this current generation of 2022 where we live. However, what are you doing about the one that is coming? Many of us have read, heard, listened, watched, circulated, all manner of stories that we see about a lot of things going on, particularly in our younger generation. It's a product of the last generation, the failures and the omissions thereof. And so if they do not have access to some things, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to change that? What are we going to do differently to generate a different kind of lifestyle for this current generation? Every successive generation is meant to give access to the next. It's only in countries that do not have a future plan for themselves that you realize that generations only consider themselves and they are not interested in what the next generation will eat or drink or put on or how they will survive. That's why you have people give birth to children and send them to the street to go and fend for themselves, which means when you were giving birth to that child, you had no plan. You just brought forth a generation, and that's why you find street children all over the place. They refuse to give them access. No plan whatsoever. And that's exactly the terror that we see across the world. Whether we know it or not, we are a product of the omissions or the acts of a previous generation. Psalm 22 verse 30 says, a seed shall serve the Lord, and it shall be accounted unto him for a generation. Not just that he is serving the Lord in his own generation, but he says it shall be accounted unto him, whether for good or for ill, for a generation. The product of this seed that is serving God today can live for generations yet to see. And if you look through the scriptures, from the Genesis of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, you will see generations after generation, all of them following after an initial promise that was given to their first generation, Abraham. Abraham was the one that received the promise. But up to when Israelites exited Egypt, they were still referring to themselves as sons of Abraham. Proud of the generations that lived before them and gave them access to the covenant blessings of God. And for as long as they maintained that access, they passed it on to the next generation that passed it on to the next. Until you get to the book of Joshua. And when Joshua and the generation of Joshua passed, Judges chapter 2 said, there arose another generation who did not know. They did not hear. Neither did they read of the great works and the mighty deliverance and all the commandments that God wrought and did and gave to the Israelites. And they began to serve a different God. They blocked their own access to the things that the Lord had prepared for them to pass on from generation to generation, simply because of the ignorance of passing it on. Don't blame too much on government. Many times, because you have to first start with yourself. I always start with myself before I make judgment calls. Because I've realized that, look around, it's the same story. And it all starts with you recognizing that I'm not living there. When I was in government college, we will sit there in class. Boys will be boys. And then when you are moving out of form 1 to form 2, or from 2 to form 3, you tell yourself you want to leave your mark in form 1C. And what is that mark? You would have thought it was just a good degree or a good certification. What we will do is we will etch our name in the desk. Sheon was here. We will etch it with compass and ink it with biro. And then move on and say, yes, I was there. As if by etching your name there, anybody will remember. And that is a worthy legacy to leave behind. The only legacy that you leave behind is in the records that you set. That people will remember and say, when this person is not in Form 3, but when he was in Form 1, he used to be this, he used to be that. Not the one that you etched in the desk, ruining the furniture for the next generation. But that is commonplace. Not just in our own, that's in our own little space. So you can imagine what happens in a bigger space or in a national space. A seed shall serve the Lord, where it shall be accounted unto him for a generation. My prayer is that whatever access God has given you, you will be a stepping stone to give greater access unto others. In Jesus' name. God has a plan why he opens doors for each and every one of us in the various areas where he opens it. He knows why he planted you where you have been planted. He knows why you are where you are. He knows where you are doing what you're doing. He knows why you have all those things. It is not just because of you. Your time will come. Your time will move on. But there is a purpose bigger than you that has made God to plant you in that space at any particular point in time. Many generations have come and gone. In their families, in churches, in ministry, in the nation, and across all spheres of life's endeavor. But the testimonies that they leave behind determine what happens to the next. Now, the Bible talks about different types of generations. There are different types of generations that the Bible has identified. And the first one that I see the Bible talk seriously about is that the Bible refers to a perverse generation. He calls the generation perverse. What does he mean by a perverse generation? It's a generation that is sold out to depravity and to corrupt ways. That's a perverse generation. Matthew 3:7, John the Baptist called the generation of the Pharisees a generation of vipers. He said they were the generation of vipers. Not just them, but a generation of it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees of his time. Genesis 32:5 calls it a perverse and crooked generation. What sort of legacy can such a generation bequeath? What sort of access will they give to the next? A perverse and crooked generation. And there are examples all over in the Bible and elsewhere. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus calls some people as belonging to an unbelieving and perverted generation. Verse 41 said, an unbelieving and perverted generation. And while men slept, while we all slept, a generation of men arose, young men and young women arose. And today they are kidnapping us. It's a generation that arose at some point. Whether they have justification or not, it is simply a denial of access that has raised such a generation that they feel this is the answer. When you look at students who have access to higher education, and then you still find some who feel that it is Yahoo or Yahoo Plus that they would like to indulge in, it is simply the perverseness of a generation, the symptoms of a perverse generation that we see. That's one type of generation that the Bible Bible identifies. I'm sure many of us, we know that we've always had homosexuality in some form over the years, but the manner in which it has invaded the global space demonstrates to you that there is a perverseness about it. It is now center spread. Things that were spoken of in hallowed manners are now despised and tossed about. The question is, am I building a new generation? In my family, in our schools, in our departments, in our churches, in our nation, are we building a new generation? A man and his wife once built a big business, and then they passed on. They had 4 children, and they passed on all their wealth to the children. In 3 years, the children plowed through all the wealth, sold off what could be sold. The ones that could not be sold is decadent somewhere. And they began to be in want. Now that is a perverse generation. Whereas, they were built upon the generation that lived before them. Something must have happened that deprived them access to the things that kept the earlier generation. What kept the earlier one and did not keep the latter one? It could be the fear of God that kept the earlier one that was not passed on to the latter one that turned them into what they have become. And this continues in a vicious cycle. The second type of generation that I see in the Bible is a rebellious generation. And what is a rebellious generation? It's a generation of those who turn against God and everything godly, everything lawful, everything dignifying. They despise the dignities that you and I keep. They despise virtue. They gloat and glory in their fantasies. That's a rebellious generation. They glory in their fantasies of drugs, alcohol, and all manner of things. Some call them the Malians. I'm sure you have heard that on TV. And some boast of it. Say, I'm a Malian. As if it is a badge of honor. Imagine who a Malian will bequeath. You, your own generation, you're already a Malian. Now, who are you going to bath? And what access is that person going to have? You have access to drugs, but not to the good things that will project them as laudable examples in society. A rebellious generation can arise in such a way that you and I will be wondering, how did they arise? How did they become? It's just a product of what you gave access to and what you did not give access to. Many of the ills that we see today is a product of the things that we gave access to. Recently, we just read about some school in Lagos that some not yet even teenage girl had some issues, all because of internet. Internet. So when you give the wrong access to the wrong things at the wrong time, it can create the wrong results. We have seen a rebellious generation in biblical times as well as in contemporary times. But can we build a better generation? I believe we can. And you and I have a responsibility and a duty to do so. Not just in our personal lives, but also in our society and wherever it is that God has planted us. I believe it's not a mistake that God has planted us in the various places He has. If you're a lecturer in polytechnic or in the university, there's a reason why God has planted you there. There's a generation you are going to have to build. And you will have to take it as a direct responsibility from God. Even if they themselves don't want to be built. It is a personal responsibility you must take up because God has planted you there and He is waiting for you to rise up to it. Who knows that He has brought you there for such a time as this? There's a reason why God has put us in the places where He has planted us. When I was appointed Attorney General, the first question I had to ask God was, why me? I'm neither a prophet nor a prophet's son. So why should I be considered? I didn't carry any party card. I didn't campaign with anybody. I didn't lobby for anything. I was just sitting down doing my own legal practice, and I got a phone call. May you also get a phone call that will give you access. It was as simple as that. There was no need to lobby anybody. No, but I just told God, if it is your will, you will have to do it. I won't go to anybody to say, they seek your opinion. I didn't even talk to a soul. Only my wife and children and siblings were aware until it was announced. Because only God gives access. He says, I'm the one that opens a door that no man, even if they try, no man can shut it. And when he shuts that door, no man can open it. Even if they bring caterpillar, it can't be opened. That is who God is. And recognizing that is enough for you to know that if you are there now, he has given you access, then there's a reason why you are there. The third type of generations that we see from the word of God is an ignorant and uninformed generation. The generation that is not taught by their fathers and mothers about godly living. Ignorant and uninformed. A generation deceived by lies on TV. By lies. Fancy lies on the internet. Fake news generation. Infested. That's a generation that is ignorant and uninformed, whose role models are celebrities living fake lives. So when you see this celebrity on TV and you see the hair is touching the floor, you think it's her hair. So you go and do all you can to have hair that touches the floor until you have nothing left. It's an ignorant and uninformed. I'm not against you doing long hair, mark my words. I'm not against it. My wife has good hair, and my daughters have long hair, and I encourage them to keep it. But the life of a man does not consist in those things. And they are not your role models. They are not the role models that we live by. And that's an ignorant and uninformed generation. If you or a son or daughter live such a life, you're packing with an ignorant or an uninformed generation. And they take their decisions based on their ignorance. They think they know. They assume they are right. They assume they know the end from the beginning as if they were God. But it's because of the ignorance and lack of information. That's why they are like that. If they knew better, they would have done differently. They would have acted differently. They would have done things like somebody who has received a revelation. The generation that arose after Joshua were the ignorant and uninformed. Judges 2:7 says, after the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of the inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not. They knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And because they knew not, verse 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and it delivered them to the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Don't forget that when God called Joshua, the prophecy of God concerning the ministry of Joshua is, no man shall be able to stand before thee all of their days. Now look at verse 14. He says, they were no longer able to stand before their enemies. It was reversed. They lost the access they had because of their ignorance of the word of God and what brought them there. Perhaps if the next generation had also further passed it on, this would not have befallen them. And the same applies to our current generations, even in contemporary times. Somebody said, democracy never favors a country largely peopled by the gullible, the ignorant, and the uninformed. Because they will simply elect one of themselves. Gullible, ignorant, and uninformed. So we have a responsibility and a duty not to raise an ignorant and uninformed generation. Therefore, let the word of God dwell in you richly, so that we do not turn out in that same manner. Our one and only duty is to give better access to greater things. Every generation looks for how can I make it better for the next. Have you noticed that every invention improves with every generation? Inventions will always improve with every generation. I was saying to some in church on Sunday that if Graham Bell were to wake up today and see what a telephone looks like, he will not recognize it as the invention that he made of the telephone. Because generations after him had improved on it. They gained knowledge from his own knowledge and they added to it. The whole essence of the law of patent rights is that you have improved on the status quo. So when you say somebody has a patent in respect of some invention, this microphone, for instance, might have 200 patents. From the person who developed whatever is amplifying my voice, and the person who developed the cylindrical shape that probably is helping it to fulfill its purpose. And then somebody comes along, looks at it and says, this microphone is too big, and decided to reduce everything that this big thing is doing into that small thing that pastor hangs around his neck. And he's still doing the same purpose. He's still accomplishing the same thing, and he's more nimble, he's more dainty, you know, it's more elegant on him. That is what a generation does to ensure that the goodness of the Lord that has manifested in his life or in their lives is passed on. An ignorant and an uninformed generation. But then there is a generation which is number four. And the Bible calls this one a generation that seeks the Lord. There is a generation that seeks the Lord. Do you belong to that generation? Genesis chapter 4. Seth gave birth to a son, called his name Enos. And the Bible says, for then did men begin to seek the Lord. Which means before Enos came, they were not seeking the Lord. But from that generation, they began to seek the Lord. And so the fruit thereof will be different. The fruits of their lives cannot be the same, because they are not doing the same thing as the generation that was ignorant. This is a generation that chose to seek the Lord. God is also birthing a generation, even in our nation. When Elijah said, I'm the only one left. All your prophets have been killed by the sword. And God said, no, I still have 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal. I believe we also have our 7,000. And in the midst of all the trauma and all the turmoil, this nation will yet arise. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 14, verse 5 says, God is in the generation of the righteous. The generation of the righteous. That is where God lies. That is where God is. That is the generation to build that you and I need to build. To build a generation is an engaging effort. To build a life is tedious enough, but to build a generation is an engaging effort. See what Abraham had to do, all because of one son called Isaac, all because he was interested in building a generation called his servant. This boy cannot marry here. you will have to go find him a wife. You'll have to travel and go to my people. I don't know how much the distance would have been at that time, but he had to travel for the sake of the next generation. That this guy, the covenant of the blessing of the Lord that I have received from the Lord is what I'm passing on to him. He cannot lose it. He cannot be denied access to it. He must be able to carry it through and pass it on. Because when God told me, he told me, I will bless you, and in thee shall all the seeds of the earth be blessed. This is my seed now, directly. So he took all that effort to ensure that he got married properly. Not just that he will come back one day and they will tell him that the family next door are looking for you. And they say, Sheosi, and you see their daughter behind like this. And you know what has happened. Because he was Omolowo in their jubo. He didn't raise his son to be like that. He had to be properly schooled. And the same thing they ended up doing for Jacob. Esau just refused to be taught. But you know, he too was following prophets. Hallelujah. To ensure that you will one day have a nation called Israel. Do you know that if it had been truncated along the line, you wouldn't have a nation called Israel? Because that was the lineage that led to the birth of a nation. To the 12 tribes. A seed shall serve the Lord, and it shall be accounted unto him for a generation. So how are you serving the Lord? And what will generations afterwards say about you? You know, one day, I applied to one office, one bank. I was looking for work there, for briefs from them. So I wrote a letter there, and went to see the legal manager. He's retired there now. And he looked at my letter, said, okay, we will see what we can do for you. The general line, which I knew meant Atigbo, Kominba Agba, kind of. And then he decided to look at my name. I'd given him my card before. He didn't look at it. He now looked at the name. And I said, my family name is Abimbola Shudende. And he said, are you related to Mr. Shudende of so-so-so place? I said, yes, that's my father. He said, it's a lie. That's your father. Are you serious? He repeated it, and I was wondering. So, he said, sit down. He said, 1 year when I was in Ife, I came home on vacation. And I was looking for vacation job. So I walked into Texaco. My dad was regional manager at Texaco at Challenge then, in the 70s, 80s, before he retired. So I walked into Texaco. And I just walked in and I said, I wanted to see the manager. And they said, you can't just see him like that. But eventually he came out and talked to him and brought him into his office. And he told him, well, I just came from Ife. I'm a law student. I'm just looking for a vacation job. He said, without knowing him, my father gave him a job. Without knowing him, without any letter, without anything, just gave him. So he worked for 3 months. Yeah. So now, here I was, maybe 20 years after. And he remembered, a seed shall serve the Lord, and it shall be accounted unto him for a generation. So what seed are you sowing now? There are people who, when they hear your name, it will open doors of favor. Not because of what you have done, but because of what a generation before you did. That's what opens the door. On the reverse, there are those who, when they hear their name, you will be making effort to say, it is not that one, no, I'm not related to that one. You know, because you don't want to be dented by whatever reputation whoever you are referring to has. That's what a generation can do, to gain access or to deny access. Building generations There are people who will constantly have access because of the manner of life and grace that their generations have built. It doesn't mean that they were very rich people. It doesn't mean they were very wealthy people. It doesn't mean they were influential people. But they carry a grace and virtue that everybody wants to be identified with them. Have you wondered why Daniel remained relevant for four kings or four political parties? Different. It did not matter which party was in power. They all needed a Daniel to be there. Whether it was any party, Nebuchadnezzar finished, but he must have told his son, Belshazzar, that you can sack everybody, but this guy, you need him. That one left, Cyrus, Darius, all of them kept him there. Why? He had a reputation that preceded him. That is the kind of seed that our generations need to plant. And in closing, let me try and wrap up with respect to what you and I need to do as we build or rebuild our generations for access. It is not late. It is not too late. We can build and impact our generation to give steady access to the greatness that the Lord desires for us. How do we build a new generation that will please God? Number one, to build or rebuild, the current generation must be determined to bequeath a better future to the next. You cannot be more concerned about your today and not be concerned about tomorrow. You must be prepared to build a better generation for the next. A good man leaveth an inheritance for who? For himself? For his children and his children's children. What is he trying to do? To bequeath a better future for the next. If those children too are wise and they come and meet what their father had bequeathed, they too will build on it and bequeath for their own children's children's children. That's how you build a generation. You don't consume it on yourself. You don't finish it on yourself and say, those ones, they didn't know how to spend money. We know how to spend it. When you look at governments, when they are handing over power, it's the same rhetoric across every state, irrespective of the party handing over to the other. One generation will leave, the next one will come and will claim, we met an empty church. Everybody claims to meet an empty church. It doesn't mean that in every case it might be true, but it's just for you to understand the mentality of men. That is not how God has prepared us. If you and I must be able to build a good society, we can't just walk and consume everything that you have just because you have your own access now. What of other people coming? They need access. And that is what God wants you and I to do. Ask ourselves, will I leave this world better than I met it? I thank God for the generations that have passed through Lighthouse. But for the sacrifices of them that have passed through, you will not have an air-conditioned auditorium. We have an air-conditioned auditorium because some people paid the price. They may not even be here to enjoy it with us, but they paid the price. Some might still be here. That is how generational blessings lie. Because of the price they paid, we have access. And when you leave, you give access to others. When you move on to other things, what legacies you have left. I say this to students who are in university. Don't spoil the hostels and the halls because some other guy is coming to occupy that bed space tomorrow. That you are privileged to occupy it, and it was broken when you got there, you cleaned it up, does not mean you must break it again. I say this to people who are tenants. So if you want to build your own house, use the landlord's house well. Don't say, this is landlord's property. Let him come and fix. So bulb is breaking down. You are still managing it. Six bulbs burnt to remain one. And you are just using that one. You are not changing every other one. You are saying it's the landlord's property. The well is not producing water as it used to. You scraped it till it's only sand coming out of it. You didn't do anything. It's landlord's property. The soak away is full. It's oozing out. You didn't do anything about it. It's landlord's property. And you want to build your own. There is a favor that goes after a man who gives access. It's a favor that just follows after you. It just goes after you, follows after you wherever you turn. Number two, leave a worthy memorial to pass on. Whenever God wants to recount or for a thing to be remembered, He leaves a memorial for generations to remember. After He devastated the world with a flood in Genesis 9, He brought forth a memorial in form of a rainbow. When the Israelites were going to be delivered from the bondage of slavery of over 400 years, He instituted a memorial called the Feast of the Passover. And He asked them to be doing this so that they will remember the night of their deliverance. When Jesus was transiting the night before His crucifixion, He instituted a memorial we call the Lord's Supper. So that you and I will constantly be reminded of how your salvation was won. God institutes memorials to remind us of the obligations and the responsibilities that we have to the next generation. So that you can pass it on. Even if they don't remember anything, when they see the memorial, they will remember. Even though they were not there, they didn't participate. But when they participate in the memorial, they remember. When God said to the Israelites that they should take an omer in Exodus 16 of the manna, and that one you will keep in the tabernacle for what? For a memorial. So that you remember that there was a time when we were hungry and God rained manna on us. As a memorial. When they were crossing the Jordan, said they should take 12 stones from the bed. As what? A memorial. When Jacob was going, fleeing from his brother, and he alighted in a place and had a dream and a ladder of angels ascending and descending, and he had God's will. When he woke up and he said, this is a dreadful place, God is in this place, I knew it not, he put up a memorial and made a vow to God. A memorial helps you to remember that there is something to pass on. If you just pass through and nothing passes through you, there's nothing to remember. Don't just pass through. My old principal used to tell us, don't just pass through government college, government college must pass through you. So that you can remember to come back and do something for the place. But when you just pass through your school, university, you don't remember to go back there. Even when they say they are doing something, alumni this, or they are contributing, they say, there's no motivation. You just pass through. The place didn't pass through you. You only pass through the place. So there's no motivation. And one way of building generations that constantly create access is to always leave a memorial. The memory of the disciple called Lois was what Paul was recounting to the grandson of Lois, called Timothy. So as you are coming into the ministry, remember the testimony of your grandmother Lois. She left a good legacy. you have no choice but to continue in that step. That is a worthy memorial. The Bible itself is a book of memorials, constituting all manner of acts and ways of God that you and I can remind ourselves of from generation to generation and be inspired to follow in the same way. Number three, commit yourself to teaching others also. Don't just say that, well, I'm trying. Commit yourself to teaching others the truth of God's word. Commit yourself to teaching others the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Commit yourself to teaching others the commandments of God. Let them understand the things that are right even when they try to harden their ears to what you're saying. Commit yourself to it. That's how you build generations. And that's how you secure constant access to the throne room of God. As you read the word of God, as you read what the Bible says, don't just think you have a duty to understand, but to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Many things that have been, that would have secured the younger generation was lost because probably they were not taught. Or they were not taught right. But we have the message and the raw scripture as it was handed down to us. That is the way we hand it over. Not panel beated and pancaked. Sometimes you could water down. And that's why the things that they believe is not the things that you believe. I was talking to a young guy and a young lady. They were doing boyfriend, girlfriend. And then the girl got pregnant. Then the boy came, was a first timer in church. And then we tried to counsel them. It was in the course of counseling that those counseling found out all of that. And I said to them, so what's the issue? He said, he doesn't even have a place to stay. I said, so where did the show up? In the midst of not having a place to stay, he still got pregnant. So where any place to stay? So they said, well, he has a job somewhere. So they were trying to get him accommodation. So they said, I said, counsel the girl. Find out where she stays. And when they asked the girl, she didn't even think anything of it. She just said that if he gets a place, then we'll stay together. She just said it. She didn't even think anything was wrong. It had become right. It was no issue. It was not that, you are trying to dodge to say. She said it just like that. So they said, don't you have anybody in town that you can stay with? She said that. She has a grandparent somewhere, but that they are not concerned. They didn't pass it on. So as far as she was concerned, it was normal, it was right for herself and the boyfriend to be living together even though they were not married. It was right. Because that was what they had watered down. The message of chastity. That message has been watered down, so it did not matter anymore. So you can receive a message, but when you are passing it on, you have depleted from it. You have watered it down. Not the formula. So it's no longer the concentrated gospel that you and I receive. Can you imagine a David that was told to kill his master Saul? And he crept towards him, cut off a bit of his robe, and the Bible says, and his heart smote him.
just for cutting the rope. Ah. Those who killed, their hearts don't smite them anymore. The man who cut the rope, his heart smote him. Because the standards are different. The power that the Lord has given us is in the gospel undiluted, unmeasured, unwatered down, undiluted as it was in the beginning, so is now. It does not change. The same message of the gospel commits yourself to teaching others also. Commit yourself to teaching them also in the manner in which you were taught. Not the 21st century gospel. In the manner in which you were taught. Somebody said some years ago, I said, you know, Christianity was not interesting in those days. Now it is interesting. I said, okay, then back here, long. Who told you it was not interesting? It was always interesting. We were ignorant of a few things, yes. But it was always interesting. And of course, with a lot more revelation, there are a lot of new things. I mean, in those days, you wouldn't have a choir singing so beautifully with the harmony, with the instruments, like that. You might have a drum, you might have a piano, you know, piano. Not piano, there's piano. But piano is different from piano. You might have a piano. You might have, this speaker would have been Ahuja. You know Ahuja? Smaller, squarish box. You would have had Ahuja. And we'll have a megaphone. Not a microphone, megaphone. But it was still interesting. Praise the Lord. Within the revelation available at the time. It's you that you are living in 21st century, that you are using your 21st century revelation to imagine how they were living in the 17th century. The people in the 17th century did not imagine what a GSM phone looked like. They didn't know of its existence, so it didn't matter. It didn't matter. You are the one that is thinking like that. And that is the revelation that God wants you to pass. The same message that you have received, as you have received it, commit you thou unto faithful men who are able to teach others also. And finally, distinguish yourself in your generation. Say to your neighbor, distinguish yourself in your generation. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You might be in this world, but you are not of this world. So there has to be a distinctive mark. There has to be something that will distinguish you from others. They carried many Hebrew boys to Babylon. The king said, "Select for me the most distinguished of them." They got about 30 young men who had wisdom, who had learning, who could stand before kings, who had panache. They brought them, and the king said, "Feed them, school them. After a while, I want them to come and sit with me, and I want to interview them." But out of the 30, who were themselves already like distinguished out of a bundle, there was an Ananiah, a Meshach, and an Azariah. And there was a Daniel. And they said, "We will not defile ourselves with the king's meat. Just give us vegetable and water. We are okay. We don't want all this shaki, all this your abodi, and all the..." I'm not saying you shouldn't eat it too. Within his own their own context, they said, "We will just eat. This is all we want." And when the king sat with them, he found them 10 times better than all his own professors, astrologers, distinguished themselves in their generation. And in all of these people, you can imagine the access they would have that others would not have. I had access when I was in government that ordinarily my relationship should not have given me. But because of the grace of God, grace, just grace. You know, there is a wisdom that comes only from the heart of God. You won't find it in a book. You won't find it somewhere on the internet. It just drops from the mind of God into your own mind. And when you deploy it, it gives you access. And everybody around you is saying, how come? They can't understand. It's a distinguishing mark that comes from God. They hated Daniel so much, they looked for how they would fault his work, they could not find. They just could not find. Nothing, they ganged up against him, they still failed. Distinguish yourself in your generation. Be counted in your generation. Distinguish yourself in righteousness, in faith, in comportment, in courage. Don't mutate with the ills around. Meaning, don't become. Access is important. Access to God and to the things of God. This year is a year of greater things. But you need access into greater things. You need access into things that ordinarily you may not even be entitled to. But God can bestow that access. Lift your hands for a moment. And I want you to imagine the places where you need access. Whatever it is that I need access. The hearts of kings and nobles are in the hands of the Lord. He turns them wheresoever he desires, like the course of a river. Where do you desire that the Lord will give you access to? The doors that appear too mighty for you to open. The doors that appear to have been shut in your face. Just begin to visualize yourself walking through the door. Because it will open of its own accord. It will open of its own accord. Somebody has written a letter, it's been refused. They are the ones that will send you the letter that will accept it. It will open of its own accord. Holy Spirit of God will welcome you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. We lift high your name in our midst. Thank you for open doors. Open doors on all sides. Open doors of increase, of revelation. Open doors on every side. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, be glorified. Shall we rise for a minute, and I'd like us to just pray and ask God for that grace. Just ask Him for the grace. Not just for you. My seed shall serve the Lord. Me, I'm a seed serving the Lord. My own children, they are seeds serving the Lord, but shall be accounted for generations. You are going to pray, and you are going to pray not just for yourself, but for your generations. And you are going to commit them to God. Let my story be like that of David, whom when God blessed, God said, even his generations shall forever be on the throne of Israel. Let my story be like the story of Abraham, whom when God blessed, he said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Let that be my own story. Let that be my own testimony. Lift your voices and pray for yourself. You may not even be married today, but lay ahead of yourself treasures. Treasures that no moth, no doth can eat or erode.
Lift up your voice and pray for yourself, pray for your seed, and pray that in my generation and those to come, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house, not me alone, inclusive of my house, we will serve the Lord. Our feet shall not slide. Our eyes shall not depart from your law. Our hands shall steadfastly wait and hold on to you. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray that the children that the Lord will bless you according to his word, they shall be for signs and for wonders. He is the owner of these seeds. Children are his heritage. The children that the Lord has blessed us with shall be for signs and for wonders. The fear of God shall rule over their hearts. In the name of Jesus, they will serve the Lord in their generation. Their own seed shall serve the Lord in their generation. The access that God has given you to his throne by his blood, nothing shall cause you to slide back. You and I, we shall not be a castaway. Having served God, having witnessed the miracle of his salvation, having experienced, having tasted, handled the things and the mysteries of the kingdom of God, none shall be a castaway. But we will live to please you all of our days in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift your hands and just give him praise. Just give him thanks. If there's one thing on your mind that you have been talking to God about, that God, I need your intervention in this. I need your help with this. I want you to cast it at his feet tonight. Just commit it to him tonight. I need your supernatural intervention. Let this be the day for that miracle. Let this be the moment of change. And commit it to God. I will join my faith with yours. And I agree that what the Lord doeth shall be forever. Nothing shall be taken away nor added to it. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your children. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your will and purpose. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. We stand on the behalf of these ones, joining my faith with theirs, Lord, that every desire of their heart, according to your will, that you will fulfill. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, I ask, Lord, that your mighty hand will go forth on their behalf into every nook and cranny of the places, into the hearts of men, whether they are awake or they are sleeping, whether they are high or they are low, or anyone who is standing in the way, or anyone who is sitting upon that blessing. And we ask, Lord, as you spoke to the heart of King Ahasuerus, that he lost his sleep until he blessed your servant. So let this be their own testimony in the name of Jesus. Lord, as many places where their name is mentioned, let it meet with your favor in the name of Jesus. In many places where their papers might be waiting, or are waiting, or even rejected, Lord, that you will bring them to the remembrance for favor in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, Lord, that in this 16th year of Lighthouse Assembly, I ask, Holy Spirit, that there will be a mighty visitation in the name of Jesus. Lord, the fulfillment of your original purpose over this house, over your servant, over the men that you have called alongside, you will bring them to pass in the name of Jesus. Lord, you will birth a generation that will serve you all of the days of these elders and beyond in the name of Jesus. Their testimony shall be not as those of the generation that arose after Joshua, but their testimony shall be the testimony that will reverberate across the globe in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, we give you thanks. We bless your name forevermore. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace. Through God's choice servant, we believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's choice servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Juwe Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lifehouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.